Welcome to the Advisor Pact monthly session. I'm Mark Little. You know, each and every month, my team and I invest most of our time interacting directly with trusted advisors and administrative managers from all over the world who are committed to implementing truly comprehensive financial services. Now, one of the benefits of the Advisor Pack monthly program is that we focus our energies, my team focuses our energies on the advisors who have who belong to and are members of the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. And the benefit of the Advisor Pack monthly program is that without having access to the toolkit, we do give you access to much of the content, and from time to time we give you overviews of critical content that will help you implement truly comprehensive financial services even if you don't have access to the toolkit. So that's what we're going to do today. We interact with advisors and administrative managers throughout the month in talking about the issues that face them that they're struggling with most in implementing truly comprehensive financial services. And lately we've been receiving a lot of questions about the process of acquiring subject matter experts. And not only acquiring subject matter experts, but also maintaining qualified, skilled subject matter experts to serve your team. Because the commitment in the Advisor Pack monthly program is twofold. It's your commitment as a retail financial advisor to be directing your business model to be able to deliver truly comprehensive financial services, but through a team of subject matter experts. So there's kind of a two-part commitment to every advisor who joins this program. One is an interest in moving towards delivering truly comprehensive financial services and delivering it not by themselves, but through a team that you build over time. So the questions that have been coming in rapid fire in the last few weeks have had to do more with, how do we deploy our team in such a way that we can build this deliverables team of subject matter experts. And we do have a process in the toolkit. It's a 12-step process called the deliverables team recruitment process. And what we've done for today is I've created an infographic that reviews for you the five essential phases of this deliverables team recruitment process. And I'm going to preview enough of the process for you that even without access to the toolkit, you'll be able to invest your team's resources to build this team and to maintain this team of subject matter experts. So it's a very simple infographic. We're going to go through it in detail. I'm going to invest the entire time today going through it. And what you're going to walk away with today is an understanding of how you and your administrative support person, whom we call your administrative manager, how you and your administrative manager are going to build this team. And that's a good starting point. Let me switch over to the infographic. Just give me a moment here. Okay. So the starting point here is, this is the infographic. This is the, okay, so we're talking about the deliverables team recruitment process. And what you're looking at here on this infographic is, this is actually your administrative manager's desk. We used that as a metaphor for this process because it's not you as a trusted advisor who manages this process to acquire subject matter experts. It's actually your administrative manager. As in their role as project leader, your administrative manager is the one who actually proactively initiates and continues to manage this process to recruit and keep skilled subject matter experts. So let's go through it here. Let me just kind of take it one step at a time. So this, let's talk about what this is before we get into it. Okay, so this is a process for you to build and to build your and maintain your team of subject matter experts. Now I'll go through in a little bit more detail as to exactly what I mean by this. But what we're talking about here today is a process to recruit professionals who are going to serve your ideal clients as a team. This is not a process to gain an agreement to share referrals with other professionals, and nor is this a process to ask for referrals from other professionals. As a matter of fact, if you approach the process that I'm about to describe in that way, the whole thing will fall apart because subject matter experts, accountants, lawyers, and so forth, they get their fair share of calls from financial advisors, and they're used to interactions with people like you that are for the purpose of, you know, requesting referrals from them to you. So that is not what this is. What we are doing here is we are in this process going to build a team of subject matter experts to serve our ideal clients. There's no quid pro quo other than you're seeking to hire a professional fee for service to serve your ideal clients. That's all. I will comment, and I'm kind of commenting carefully because I know how advisors can take this wrong and take this too far. So don't read too much into this. But I will tell you just parenthetically that if a subject matter is a good fit, they will eventually refer clients to you. They are going to refer into this unique high-performance environment, this team you're building, because it makes them look better to their clients. But I can tell you from experience, having built many of these teams for many offices, that sometimes this doesn't come until a year later. I mean, it takes some time for a subject matter expert to realize that this is a quite novel and valuable and high-performance collegial environment that benefits clients. Once they realize that, then referrals will begin to come in. But if you make that part of the arrangement at the beginning, first of all, you'll not get the best people. And secondly, you'll just look like any other financial advisor who's just looking for referrals. So trust me, the referrals will come in time. Just forget about them completely. And as a matter of fact, resist the temptation to even talk about this, because when a subject matter expert, here's why you want to meet with them. Some of them will ask you, is this in order to set up a referral sharing agreement? And your answer to that should be absolutely not. I am seeking you. I am looking for candidates of people who are skilled in your narrow field of finance to serve my clients. I'm interviewing all the best people in town, and I'm going to pick one to serve my clients in your area of expertise. And that's all. You're not looking for referrals. So let me go through the five steps. First of all, the first step is to identify, the first step actually is to select the subject matter expert role you want to fill. And then you're going to work to identify candidates. Then you're going to have an initial meeting. This is meeting number one of three. You're going to hold this meeting in a neutral location. And the purpose of this meeting, which we will go through, but the main purpose of this meeting is just to determine to see if there's a personality fit to continue moving forward or not. So then meeting number two of three is to determine if this individual is truly skilled or not. And after that, you kind of pause the meetings. After you've identified, at least after you've gone through this process and you've had a couple of meetings with at least three viable candidates, you keep doing this process until you've got at least three viable candidates. Then you kind of pause the process. You pause the interviews with the candidates, and you begin to involve your existing team. So if you're just starting out, you may not have much of a team. It may be just you and your administrative manager. But whatever, once you begin building your team, this is the point in which you pause and involve whoever's on your team. It would be your administrative manager. It would be your existing subject matter experts once you begin to acquire them. Could be your spouse, other interested parties that care about you and your business and have some insight into what you're doing. At this point, you kind of pause and involve your team. You want your team's opinion about these candidates before you make any final decisions. You don't want to just act unilaterally on your own. You could, and that's how business owners ultimately have to make a decision as to who to hire. But at this point, you pause in our process and you involve the people that are on your team and care about your team. Then you go, you resume the meeting process with the candidate. This is when you've selected, you've narrowed it down, and you and your team agree that you've got a good candidate. And I would say after the quote unquote advice and consent of your team, then you make an offer to this individual to join your team as a subject matter expert. So that is the process. Let's go into this in a little bit greater detail. Let's start with this beginning process of identifying. Let's talk about identifying candidates. Okay, so first I want to talk about this notion of how important it is not to try to fill two roles at a time. You want to fill one single subject matter expert role at a time, not more than one. So the roles we're trying to fill are financial planning subject matter expert, tax planning subject matter expert, money management subject matter expert, estate planning subject matter expert, and then finally insurance subject matter expert. Now, I recommend that you fill those positions in that order. So that would mean if you're just starting out, the first role is financial planning subject matter expert, and then followed by tax, money management, estate planning, and insurance. Okay, so now this is your administrative manager's responsibility to proactively initiate this process. So you should be meeting with your administrative manager several times each week. We call them daily status update check-in meetings. It's the purpose we recommend daily. So it's the purpose of these meetings for your administrative manager to report on the progress of implementing truly comprehensive financial services. It's a meeting that should be less than 15 minutes long. And it's in this meeting that your administrative manager seeks your approval to fill one of these roles. So you authorize one of the roles to be filled by your, the project to be begun by your subject matter, by your administrative manager. And once your administrative manager has your approval to initiate this process, then there are several things that your administrative manager will coordinate before you really get actively involved as a trusted advisor. For example, they will create the profile of the candidate that you're looking for. So you're looking for all these different types of subject matter experts, and it's up to your administrative manager to create a position profile for your approval. And it's easier and quicker to edit than it is to create. So we ask your administrative manager to do some research, create some draft position profiles for your approval, and then you approve them. Now, in the toolkit, of course, we provide all of this, but my purpose here is it's a little bit frustrating because in the toolkit, we provide all these profiles. And if you have a question specifically about that, or as you sit down and you create these profiles, if you struggle with any of this, well, then submit a question to this monthly session and we will address it. And maybe we can go through a profile if you're struggling with creating one. But this is something that your administrative manager needs to do and can do before you really get rolling with interviewing candidates. And also, once you start identifying candidates, it's definitely the job of your administrative manager to do background research on these candidates. But I think the biggest thing that you need to get a commitment to as and before you get started with this process is to get a commitment from your administrative manager that this entire process will not exceed 60 days. I've seen this when especially when advisors and their administrative managers are first starting out, it is so tempting to get to get caught up in the mechanics of how this process to recruit a subject matter expert should unfold that it lasts months and months and months. This process for each role that you're trying to fill should never exceed 60 days. So what you're looking for at the beginning, when your administrative manager and you are sitting down, you're approving the initiation of this process, your administrative manager has agreed to marshal this process and to serve as project leader, there's a commitment that on day one from the administrative, your administrative manager, to marshal the process so that your administrative manager has pushed this process in such a way that you have filled this role in 60 days or less, and then moved on to the next role that you're going to fill 60 days from now. It requires commitment to establish this tight 60-day timeline and to stick to it. And there are many things that can derail this, most of which are just should be irrelevant at this point. Not the least of which are issues such as an advisor who says, well, let's hold off because we can't even figure out how to pay this subject matter expert right now. I'm contending that it's more important to get your team on board than it is to figure things like that out. You do have to figure out how to pay them, but what I'm saying is, even if you can't figure out how to pay a subject matter expert, continue through the process, commit to a 60-day process or less to fill this role, and commit to bringing that next subject matter expert on within the 60-day period, if only for your future ideal clients who you can figure out how to pay for this person because you can adjust your fee on future clients to include them. But with maybe an agreement to later figure out how you're going to get this subject matter expert to serve your existing clients. So suspend obstacles for now and just focus on the really important part of this. I'm telling you, I've been through this so many times. Don't let issues delay your recruitment. Commit to a short 60-day timeline and get this person on board, move on to the next one, get all five of your subject matter experts in place, then you can go about, now you have a team. Now you can sit down with your team and go back, and as a team, you can resolve these issues. And if you have clients that are not using all these subject matter experts because they're not paying fees that allow you to compensate this new team, then let the team sit down and help you work through what the strategy should be to deal with that. And then also your administrative manager, I'm talking about things that your administrative manager can be doing before you really get rolling interviewing candidates. And you're going to see in the next stage of this process that that the way we recommend that you approach this, a way that's always worked for us in every office that we've ever built, is that we're going to recommend that you not go to job boards, that you not go to headhunters or anything like that. That there's a single simple way that works to acquire these subject matter experts, and that is simply letting everybody on your team, letting everyone that they know that you're hiring. And so it's the creation of emails for every team member that's currently on your team. Maybe it's just you and your administrative manager. Maybe you and your spouse and your administrative manager. But everybody has a strategic interest in your business is going to send out emails to everyone that they know. And it's a broadcast out to everyone explaining that we're hiring and who do you know. And so it's your administrative manager who should and can and should be writing these emails. Okay, so then the next step of our process is email everyone you know. You're going to let everyone know that you're looking for someone skilled, asking them who do you know that fits this profile, and requesting that they forward this email on. You're going to attach what we recommend and what we provide on the toolkit is that you attach a PDF flyer to every email. It's a one-page description of the position that you're trying to fill and the skills that you're looking for. Something which could be easily forwarded on to others who you send this email to, or it, the attachment could be printed out and posted on a bulletin board. So you're trying to create an email with an attachment that can be easily passed along. And we recommend that you go back, in, and this is part of the work of your administrative manager, working with you and working with others on your team, working with your spouse. You're going to send this email with this attachment out to a minimum of 500 people each. So you're sitting there thinking, do I even know 500 people? And I would say definitely yes. If you will go back through your inbox, if you go back far enough, you will find 500 people. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We spend a lot of time on this in the toolkit. But in the interest of time, let me just tell you, if you go back far enough, you know, you may have to go back a couple of years in your inbox, but you will find 500 people. So if you're sending out 500 of these emails with these attachments, if your administrative manager is sending out 500 of these emails with the attachments, if your administrative manager's spouse is sending out 500, if your spouse is sending out 500, if you go to your LinkedIn contacts and you focus on what contacts you have there in LinkedIn, you can include that social media site. You know, the bottom line is you need to contact 500 each, and that is the key to making this work. So the next step in the process is the initial discovery meeting. This is when the trusted advisor first gets involved in the process. The administrative manager has been pretty much driving everything up to this point. If you were working through the process on the toolkit, the first six of the 12 steps are the administrative manager alone, identifying the role, creating the position descriptions, creating the emails, and broadcasting out the all these emails to everyone, creating the PDF attachment and so forth, and doing research on each candidate as they come in. So as candidates come in, then there needs to be some screening process, and that's the research process that your administrative manager conducts. And so you don't sit down and schedule, and now this initial discovery meeting should be a face-to-face meeting in a neutral location between you and the trusted advisor and this individual subject matter expert. And all I'm saying is, I'm warning you, don't sit down with a subject matter expert unless this individual has been well researched. Now, your administrative manager can go online, can call up that firm. They don't need to explain what they're doing exactly, but they call up the firm, ask for collateral marketing material. What you basically are, what your administrative manager needs to find out before you invest the time sitting down with them is, what does this individual actually do, and what does this firm actually do? And by the way, is this individual, who may have been referred by somebody that you know, is this individual actually the most skilled person at the firm? Or should you be interviewing someone else at the firm as a more skilled, more qualified individual? And so all of that research has to have been done before you invest the time sitting down and meeting with them. And that's all done by the administrative manager, who just, you know, does research online and calls the firm and asks for collateral marketing as though maybe they're just a prospective client trying to get information about the firm. Whatever. All that's been done. Now you're sitting down as a trusted advisor face-to-face with this candidate. You explain to them that you are seeking, let's say it's a financial planner. You're seeking a financial planner to serve your clients. And you're looking for to set up an arrangement, fee for service, for a financial planner to serve your clients it's just a straight fee for service arrangement that you're seeking to set up. But the main questions for this initial meeting are, does this person seem skilled? You need to get some feeling in this meeting that you're sitting in the presence of a skilled individual. Now, we go through in great detail in the toolkit how to do this, but all I will say is that if you will get a sense when you talk to an individual, if you skillfully question them as to how good they are at what they do. And you're not looking for them to give great detail on any of this. You're just looking for their experience, maybe give you anecdotes. You can ask them what their ideal client profile is. Mainly, does this person seem skilled? All you're trying to do is actually eliminate candidates that are obviously not a good fit. So the three main questions in this meeting is, does this person seem skilled? Do I like this person? Is there a chemistry that works here? Or would I dislike working with this individual? In which case you eliminate them immediately. And the third is, do they understand this is a team sport? So the one thing that we have found over the years, that even with the best subject matter experts who are truly skilled at what they do at a very high level, even those subject matter experts are almost never used to dealing in a collaborative environment. They've just never been asked to serve on a team like this. And some very skilled people like the idea, and some very skilled professionals dislike the idea. So that's the whole point. In this meeting, which should not exceed an hour, in a neutral location, when I do these, I tend to do them in hotel restaurants at odd hours, like between breakfast and lunch, like 10 a.m., or between lunch and dinner, like 2 or 3 p.m. So it's quiet. The key is it should be a quiet location where you can have a business meeting without feeling like it's in neutral territory. You're not in your turf. You're not in their turf. It's just you're trying, and you can escape easily. If at any point this individual is clearly, if they say something that is, I've been in so many of these, if a subject matter expert says something that doesn't strike you as ethical, like they start talking about how they're just in it for the money or this and that, whatever. At any point, you can disqualify a subject matter expert in a very simple way by just holding out your hand as though to shake their hand and begin rising. So standing up from your chair, they'll stand up with you because they won't know what's going on. And you'll just say, hey, listen, Susan, it's been great getting to know you. I really appreciate the fact that you sat down and filled me in on exactly what it is that you do. My purpose for this meeting was just to understand who you are, what you do, so that if I come across a client who is in need of your services, I'm aware of you. I'm aware of who you are and what you do, and I really appreciate you for your time. So if the meeting just lasts 10 minutes and you are convinced it's not a good fit, you end the meeting as soon as you can. But, you know, the meeting should not last more than an hour. If everything seems on track, they seem skilled, you like them, they understand that what you're trying to do is build a team, so they have to be comfortable with the idea of working on a team, then you move forward. And so you basically have the initial meeting, and then you set up what I will contend is the most important meeting in the process. Meeting number 2 of 3 is the most important meeting. They have to prove to you that they actually are skilled. The best in class assessment meeting is all about the notion of show me what you do for your ideal clients. And so let's kind of walk through the conversation, the talking points for the best in class assessment meeting. We start with just the ideal client profile. It's important for you, and you probably did this and should have done this in the initial meeting, initial discovery meeting, but it's to ask the question, you know, do you routinely work with clients who meet our ideal client profile? So you pose the question, what is your ideal client profile? They tell you what it is. Don't be surprised, by the way, if they stutter and stammer, because most professionals don't have a clear sense of an ideal client profile the way we envision it. So in our world, an ideal client profile is a profile of what we have determined are the traits and the demographics of a client that we serve best. And the purpose of our ideal client profile is it's what defines clients that we're going to invest the resources internally in order to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. So an ideal client profile in our world is a very firm line. On one side of the line are ideal clients who receive truly comprehensive financial services, and on the other side of the line are clients who are non-ideal clients who do not receive truly comprehensive financial services. They receive something different, something lesser, and something starkly contrasted, a lower level of service than our ideal clients receive. And then this conversation here is about reconciling the fact and convincing yourself that this individual works routinely with people who meet your ideal client profile. And you're out to determine how long with you have you worked with clients like this? How many clients over the years have you worked with that meet this profile? You're really looking for, you don't want a subject matter expert who working with you would represent an upgrade. You don't want professionals that when they hear your ideal client profile, their reaction is, oh, I'd love to work with clients like that. No, you want to work with professionals who are already working with clients like this and have worked with clients like this routinely for a long time. And you want to determine from them exactly how skilled they are. Now, this is the key part of this meeting, especially if you're new to this. So we've talked in past monthly sessions about how to create deliverables checkpoints. So it's the one thing we don't share in the Advisor Pact monthly program from the toolkit. They are proprietary. So we have 143 deliverables checkpoints. And we've walked through in past sessions how you can go create your own deliverables checkpoints. If and many people in the Advisor Pact monthly program, you know, they're just you're trying to get to the point where you are at the point where you're ready for and can afford the toolkit, and then at that point you will receive our checkpoints. We provide our deliverables checkpoints to every member of the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. But that being said, I've been where you sit right now. I've been at a point in my career when I didn't have checkpoints and I didn't have, there was no place to go like the Trusted Advisor Toolkit to know that there are 143 deliverables checkpoints across five financial disciplines in order to deliver truly comprehensive financial services. So what I'm saying here is that this is until you join the toolkit, or even if you never join the toolkit, this is where you build those checkpoints. If so, you don't leave this best-in-class assessment meeting with a professional until you're crystal clear on what services, what deliverables, and what deliverables checkpoints this professional provides to their ideal clients. So while you're interviewing them to determine suitability for joining your team, you're also capturing what it is that they do for their clients. And you're documenting the deliverables checkpoints as you go. And then as you leave these meetings, you'll have their deliverables checkpoints. And I guess my point is, for example, if you do this with half a dozen, let's say, tax subject matter experts, you have, you know, six best-in-class assessment meetings over time with six potential tax planning subject matter expert candidates, then you'll have a fairly complete list of all the tax deliverables checkpoints because you will have listed all their checkpoints. In the course of this best-in-class assessment meeting, you'll have documented those. Then if you end up doing this with a dozen tax planning subject matter experts over time, then you'll likely have a complete set of tax deliverables checkpoints. So my point is that as you're going through this process, if every 60 days you're filling a role and you're interviewing, I don't know, at least three, but my experience is you'll have to interview at least half a dozen to get to three viable candidates. If as you go, even if you just get one or two deliverables checkpoints from one candidate because they're not really as skilled as you had hoped, you'll get something and from everyone, more than likely. And that you'll be, as you go through this process, you'll be building your deliverables checkpoints as you go. So it's through this best-in-class assessment meeting that you're going to establish your own deliverables checkpoints. It's very time-consuming, but it's what will radically differentiate you from the other financial advisors your potential clients could hire. I think it's time to just for a moment pause here and let's think about what we're doing here. By making an advisor pact with every ideal client that you're going to deliver truly comprehensive financial services to them, you've actually created a financial services monopoly by making that pact. Because and to just realize that these best-in-class assessment meetings, these BICA meetings, as we call them, that's the acronym. These BICA meetings simply provide you with the deliverables checkpoints that you're going to use internally to deliver that truly comprehensive financial services that you're promising to your ideal clients. So if you join the toolkit, we give it all to you. But, you know, I've been where you are. I'm telling you, you can do this. You can develop your own checkpoints. You need to establish if this candidate's up to this. Are they a team player? Are they willing to collaborate with the others? Are they willing to review the work of the others? I'm going to cover this a little bit more in a moment. But, you know, I just, before I leave this best-in-class assessment meeting, you can't leave the meeting until you're convinced that this is an individual who, if they join your team, they will pull their weight. I remember even when I was back in school and we would have a project with several team members to do some work for a given class. And the very first thing I did on any team, because I'd had bad experiences with teams back in school, the very first thing I always did was do an assessment, a quick assessment of each team member to determine who's going to pull their weight and to identify anybody that I think may not pull their weight. So it's in this meeting, the best-in-class assessment meeting, oftentimes is a little bit longer than the other meetings. It can be up to 2 hours long, but it's where they describe how high their standards are. And that you need to talk about things like if you're going to be a good team member, one of the key measures of being on a team is responsiveness. So if I contact you or if my administrative manager contacts you or other subject matter experts contact you on behalf of a client about a client meeting, you know, tell them what your standards are. Personally, I think the standard should be that they get back, they're responsive within 2 hours whenever possible and within one business day without any question whatsoever. And if ever they're less responsive than that, then we got problems. But anyway, the other is the willingness to document their work for the others on the team. To talk about that to serve on a team means you've got to get the thoughts you've got about a client out of your head and onto paper so others on the team can review the work. And so that you're not, that we're not having hours and hours and hours of meetings where we're talking about clients because every subject matter expert has committed to documenting their work so that the others on the team understand, can review their insights, their analysis, their source documents that they're making their opinions and their decisions from. So is this person capable? That is the objective of the best-in-class assessment meeting, and I will say that for me, I like to bring my administrative manager to this meeting. If it's a local professional, I like to bring my administrative manager to meet the team. And to, while I'm in talking with the subject matter expert, my administrative manager is out talking with the team, and they're walking my administrative manager through more or less the mechanics of how they serve clients. You know, here's what they do, and here's the software that they use, and whatever. They walk through every step of the process with my administrative manager, so my administrative manager is also walking out of this meeting with a sense of how skilled they are and whether they're up to this and whether they're going to pull their weight and so forth. So if this is a virtual position, which, you know, I would say financial planners, money managers are often virtual, even insurance subject matter, actually any of them could be virtual, then I still like to involve my administrative manager so that my administrative manager's having, so that we identify who's the number two person in the office, who's the administrative support person in the office. We recommend that you don't invite anybody onto your team, no subject matter experts, that don't have at least two administrative support people supporting them. And so if it's a virtual position and you can't bring your administrative manager with you into this BICA because you're doing it as an online meeting or perhaps a phone call, that you as a part of this, you be introduced to this subject matter expert's assistant or their number two in command, and have your administrative manager introduced to that person and have them doing, in essence, the same thing, walking through the internal process over there at their office through a virtual meeting, maybe simultaneously or the same day or within a day or so of your meeting with the subject matter expert directly. So that's the best in class assessment meeting. And let me just kind of wrap up. So at this point, you've had two meetings with the subject matter expert, and you pause the process at this point after you've got at least three viable candidates. Now you pause and you involve your team. We call it an internal agreement meeting that we hold. But sometimes, if in the interest of time, there have been times we don't actually hold a meeting. It's just me meeting with each of my subject matter experts to bring them into the process. I let them know that I've got, you know, three candidates that I'm considering. I ask my subject matter expert to deploy their network and their resources to research these three candidates. You know, I want to know what's their reputation. Can we find out anything more about this candidate? What do others think of this candidate? Are there other professionals who have opinions about this this subject matter expert, these subject matter experts that we're considering? So at this point, now that you've narrowed it down, you can involve your subject matter experts. And I would say if you're starting out, even if you don't have other subject matter experts, you can involve your spouse, or if you've got others that have a strategic interest in your business. I remember when I was first starting out, my father, who was a corporate executive, but he had lots of opinions and such about my new business. So you bring into the process others who could help you form impressions about these candidates. And I encourage you to get others to interview these subject matter experts. So you've had an initial discovery meeting, you've had a best-in-class assessment meeting, perhaps your administrative manager has met this team now. So I always recommend that you have a minimum of three people interviewing each candidate before you make a final decision. So at this point, maybe your administrative manager qualifies as one of the three people that has an impression about this subject matter expert. You certainly do. And I want to say at least one other, and I don't think there's any rule to this. So I think if you want to have three or four other people interview these subject matter experts, even if it's just a quick call with a focus purpose of just introducing themselves and saying, you know, trying to get a sense of, you know, will they get along with your team and so forth. What you want at this point is impressions of other people. And you have other people interview these candidates before you narrow it down to a single candidate that you're going to make an offer to. And the final thing that I recommend, and almost no advisor does this, and I have found this to be so important to acquiring skilled people, is that I do seek the agreement of my team before I invite a candidate onto our team. So obviously it's your business and it's your decision. In the real world, you could make this decision without anybody. More than likely. But I'm just suggesting that it's in your best interest to pause and let your team weigh in. Like, do they recommend yes or no? That which of these candidates do they recommend? And do they all unanimously agree that this is the single candidate that should be given an offer to? And with, you know, you're wanting, because they're going to have to work with this person. And they have experience dealing with people, and this will help your recruiting process. So that's involving your team and having internal agreement before you move forward. And then finally, you have what is the critical meeting, the meeting where you extend an offer to this subject matter expert to join your team. I call this the deal structure meeting because, quite frankly, you need to structure a deal. So let's walk through this. So what are the objectives or what needs to happen during the deal structure meeting? Well, if you were a member of the toolkit, we have a thing called the subject matter expert agreement form. It's in this meeting that you have the subject matter expert sign the subject matter expert agreement form. And we tell our members of the toolkit, don't leave the deal structure meeting without this subject matter expert agreement form signed. Since you may have not been exposed to this, you may have not seen this agreement, let me just walk through the elements of it so that you can create your own. The subject matter expert agreement form, in our case, it's an 11-page agreement where we ask subject matter experts to initial every paragraph. And it is, in essence, what truly comprehensive financial services, by our definition, expects of them. But when you boil it right down, if you're just trying to create something similar, subject matter expert agreement form, and if you want, you can request on this monthly session, and we'll review that agreement form in greater detail. But what I'm trying to say here is that you could sit down and type out an agreement based on what I'm about to say. I am looking for three things, basically, in this agreement. So when you drill it all down, there's three things that they're agreeing to. Every subject matter expert has to agree, number one, to deploy what I call their proactive professional process for every one of my ideal clients. So in this whole best-in-class assessment meeting, through this whole process, the way we've gotten to this meeting is because we have determined that this professional is skilled and they have a process that's excellent, that they've worked with people who meet my ideal client profile, and they've got an outstanding process. They've got a process that's even more robust than your deliverables checkpoints that you've created, and that they agree to provide their best work for every single one of your ideal clients. So they're going to, number one, they're going to deploy their proactive professional process. Number two, they agree to collaborate with the other subject matter experts on your team in between client progress meetings. Now, this is something that you have to really, the reason this agreement is in writing is because so few subject matter experts ever do this outside of our environment. I mean, when have you ever heard of subject matter experts that pick up the phone and call the other subject matter experts of a client routinely? And so we do have, and I'm not going to cover it here, but if you want to ask questions in future months about this, we do require in this agreement that they submit something called the interaction log within 24 hours of any interaction between subject matter experts. So, and they're just basically written notes. We expect so the agreement is, number two, they agree to collaborate with other subject matter experts, and parenthetically, they agree to submit their notes within 24 hours. We call it the interaction log. It's a specific templated format, but you can just require notes. And then third and finally, what we're getting each subject matter expert to agree to is the agreement to review the work of the other subject matter experts before every dry run prep meeting. So we've covered this in past sessions, but a dry run prep meeting is something we recommend as a part of the three meeting process. It's the dry run prep meeting is a 20-minute dress rehearsal, roughly 10 days before your client progress meeting. And what you're saying here is that before your subject matter experts show up at this 20-minute dry run prep meeting, this dress rehearsal 10 days before the meeting, that each of them has agreed to have already reviewed the work of the other subject matter experts. So, I mean, that is one of the main purposes of the toolkit is we provide a mechanism where, you know, they can go on the toolkit and actually gain access to all this work of the other subject matter experts. But if you don't have the toolkit, it's just up to your administrative manager to work that out. So, you know, how will your subject matter experts actually be able to obtain the work of the other subject matter experts prior to every dry run prep meeting so that they can fulfill their commitment to review the work of the others? So it may not be easy, but it's feasible. And it is, you know, something that your administrative manager is responsible for. So the three things are: they agree to deploy their proactive professional process, they agree to collaborate with the other subject matter experts on your team, and they agree to review the work of the other subject matter experts before every dry run prep meeting. And it's at this steel structure meeting that we empower your administrative manager. So you have an assistant. Your administrative manager is the project leader and needs to be introduced that way, if they haven't already, at this steel structure meeting. And it's also at this meeting that we're introduced to this subject matter expert's primary point of contact. And we insist on this. So we understand that the subject matter expert's busy. They're often in with clients. There might be times when the subject matter expert's out of the office or on vacation. We need a point of contact in the office so that our administrative manager has someone to contact to confirm meeting dates, to confirm that they have documents related to clients that they say they need, that they're going to meet deadlines and so forth. We need a point of contact. So you empower the administrative manager to kind of take over this relationship after this deal structure meeting. And then what we recommend, and this is in the toolkit, we have something called the best way method of documenting processes. Well, we get the administrative manager at this deal structure meeting to agree to document every one of the meetings in the three meeting process. There are five of them. So to create the best way process for all five meetings in the three meeting process, that would be a documented process for the implementation meeting, a documented process for the initial progress update meeting, the comprehensive safety review, the goal progress outlook, and the annual review. These are the five meetings in the three meeting process. The first three are one-time meetings that you have once in every client relationship. And the bottom three, four, and five, those are the routine three meetings in the three meeting process. Those are the three meetings you have with every client every 4 months for the rest of your life. And this documenting of a process is an opportunity for your administrative manager at the beginning of this relationship to work with the subject matter expert's point of contact, their assistant, to merge their proactive professional process, which is the reason we've invited them onto our team, to merge that process with our three meeting process and to establish basically what's due and when to do it. We're going to document each of these five meetings, and it's going to emphasize the timeline of what your administrative manager expects from each subject matter expert. You know, when is it expected? What is it expected? And this is an opportunity even for an administrative manager that's kind of new to all of this to kind of work this out with the with each subject matter expert for each meeting. And it's to establish a good working relationship just between the two offices. We have found that by documenting each meeting's process, it just creates a great working relationship between the two offices, and it's really critical. And it comes directly out of this deal structure meeting. It should be the call to action after the deal structure meeting. And it's something that could be done in the weeks and months, initial weeks and months of the relationship. So that's the deal structure meeting. And that's it for the deliverables team recruitment process. I think just the key takeaways here are that, you know, sit down with your administrative manager until you're comfortable that your administrative manager has created a timeline which will complete all of these five stages in less than 60 days. You need a commitment to wrap all this up, get your next subject matter expert acquired, and fill the next role within 60 days from now. And I'll just leave you on this parting point. This is going to be a little bit dispiriting to some of you, but once you've got your team built, that's not the end of it. What you are likely to find if your team is like the average team, once you've built your team and you've got your financial planning, tax, money management, estate planning, and insurance subject matter experts, those are your five key subject matter experts. After you've got the team built, you're in a really good position because now your team is delivering truly comprehensive financial services. You have all the expertise required. But what you'll begin to notice, there may be some cracks in the system, some little fraying of the process. And it's driven by maybe usually one, but maybe up to two subject matter experts. You discover really they seemed committed at the beginning, but candidly, they're not turning out to be as committed or as good a team members as you had hoped. So, you know, they're not, you know, think about the three things we're asking from them. Their proactive professional process ain't so proactive, or it's not professional, or it seems like you're pushing them all the time when in fact you're paying them. They should be pulling you through their process and not the other way around. So in that, maybe there's a problem with one of them. Or you think about the second thing, the requirement to collaborate with the other subject matter experts. Well, I've just got through saying that most subject matter experts are not accustomed to this. So lo and behold, you build your team of five subject matter experts, and one of the five, as good intentions as they had at the beginning, you know, candidly, they just end up not being good collaborators. They're not collaborating with the others as you had expected, and they're not maintaining, they're not living up to your high standards in that area. And that is critical. If they're not collaborating, then you're not creating a radically differentiated business model, because that's what differentiates your team from others, is the fact that your team collaborates. Anyone who doesn't collaborate has to be moved off the team. They have to shape up or ship out. So the third is the reviewing of the other's work prior to every dry run prep meeting. If you identify a subject matter expert who's not doing that, then you know, it's okay to give them a couple of, you know, have a couple conversations about that. But at some point, it's just, it becomes obvious that there's somebody that needs to be replaced, maybe up to two, possibly. And so my whole point is saying this: once you get through this process, this 60-day process with your first five subject matter experts, it's very likely that you're going to have to quietly keep the machine running, keep your administrative manager proactively pushing on this to, unfortunately, to quietly start shopping around for a replacement subject matter expert for one or two of the positions that you've already filled. So I'm telling you that not to dispirit you, but rather to set your expectations. If you know going in that this is the experience of most financial advisors, well, you're in a very good position when you encounter this to realize that, well, that's just the way it is. So that is it for the monthly session for this month, July 21st, and we wish you all the best in implementing. I tell you, if you get your team in place, I cannot convey to you how much easier your life will be and how much better your clients' lives will be having these skilled people in place. So until next month, we wish you all the best in implementing. I'm Mark Little.